Ray, thank you very much. Ray.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Happy Christmas, everyone.
Hey, happy Christmas to you, dear Maylam. Thank you. Yes, that's Jeremy there doing his Christmas greeting. And, of course, Christmas would be nothing without children. So we need your children to do greetings for us, just like Dermot did there. You can send them into us via email, so just record them on your smartphone, or if you have a studio at home, record them there and put them as an attachment to ray@rte.ie, or you can just WhatsApp us now, a voice note, to 087-114-7899. So it is Happy Christmas from the Ray Darcy Show, or whatever you're having yourself. But as long as you get the main message in, Happy Christmas from the Ray Darcy Show, and use as many children as you have. Get the neighbours in, get the nieces, nephews, record it, make sure it's festive and fun, and send it off to ray@rte.ie or voice note on WhatsApp to 087 114 7899. And then we just play Dermot out again, just to give you an idea of what you're after, or what we're after. When you're ready, Dermot.
Show on RTE Radio 1. Happy Christmas, everyone.
Happy Christmas, dear mate. That'd be great. So 087 114 7899, or record it and attach it to an email to ray@rte.ie, and it's Happy Christmas from the Ray Darcy Show, or whatever variation of that you want to do. Now, ye are a lot better than I thought at spotting people singing Silent Night. We thought we'd have this till next year sometime. We thought we'd be bringing it back next December. We were telling you yesterday that there are over 130,000 recordings of Silent Night. We got 15 of them and put them together, and your job was to spot who was singing them in order of their appearance. I'll just play it out for you. It's 15 bits of Silent Night in less than 50 seconds. Have a listen to this. Versions of Silent Night. Very good. People are very close to getting all 15 in the correct order. We'll be adding one more prize to the hamper. In there already is an overnight stay in Killarney Plaza Hotel and Spa with breakfast and dinner in the Tan Yard. I think this isn't going to last long, and we'll have to go back to the drawing board and get something a little bit more difficult for you. Anyway, we'll be talking to somebody who's had a good few guesses at it after 4 o'clock, and we'll be playing that out again if you haven't heard. So Ray was giving you the temperatures there. I see it was Athenry was -7.2, and up the north, Kate's Bridge in Down was -9 degrees, which all sort of fade into the background when you compare it to Braemar in the Scottish Highlands. They had a temperature of -17.3. And the temperature in Braemar didn't rise above -9.3 all day yesterday, making it the coldest day in the UK since December 2020. There seems to be a bit of a thaw up our way anyway, because we were in a cul-de-sac and it was quite bad for the last couple of days since Friday. But there was a thaw on overnight or yesterday, so not so bad today. In Christmas news, be careful with the mistletoe. Kiss under it, but don't kiss it. That's the warning in the Irish Examiner today, because depending on the variation of mistletoe, it can be poisonous, yes, toxic to us humans, and it can cause vomiting, diarrhoea, blurred vision and cardiac problems. None of those you want if you're in a romantic moment with somebody that you've managed to sort of capture or whatever, with their consent, of course. Underneath the mistletoe, because you need consent now. You can't just rock up to somebody. It's hugely important with the mistletoe. You have to. So, what do you think? Will you? Yeah. So Kiss 100 but not Kiss It is that one. And Nigella, this Nigella is like, it's just always OTT, isn't it, when Nigella Lawson. I have her Christmas cookery book at home and I always refer to it every Christmas. There's some great stuff in it. If you're looking for the perfect roast potatoes, I think Nigellas are hard to beat. She does all sorts of things with it, but they turn out delicious, absolutely delicious. And the one thing that I took away from Nigella Lawson and her roast potatoes is keep them small. I think sometimes you use the whole potato when you should cut them in two. Anyway, she has an idea for Christmas morning trifle. I don't have time to play it out. I might play it for you after 4 o'clock. We do that, yeah. I'll play that out at 4 o'clock because we've a lot to get through today. And Lenny Henry, we have a great interview with Lenny Henry coming up, and we have that Silent Night quiz to do, and we have a regular quiz to do, and lots more besides. And of course, there is somebody at home innocently waiting by the phone because they've been told by somebody in their life that they need to be by the phone. They're expecting a call from a delivery person or on post or something like that, when in effect, what's going to happen is they're going to get a call from us. And that's part of our big Christmas thank you, which is coming up in a few minutes' time. But first, what do we play for you today to get you started? 51551 for your text or ray@rte.ie. This is the Fleet Foxes. Good afternoon. That's lovely, isn't it? Fleet Foxes and White Winter Hymnal. 51551 ray@rte.ie. I was looking at the clock wrongly. We do have time to play out Nigella Lawson's recipe for Christmas morning trifle. Right, Christmas morning trifle. Have a listen. Nigella.
I have a little something in mind for Christmas Day morning, and that is a breakfast trifle, fresh and fruity. It starts off with sponge fingers, some frozen berries, some fine shred marmalade, clementine zest, so I just put the fruit on frozen. I shall leave it out overnight, mm-hmm. and it can greet me in the morning.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Let's morning. Get sweet yogurt, double cream, marmalade, pistachio, pomegranate seeds. What I love about it, like this, is that it offers calm, which is just what I want on Christmas Day in the morning.
It offers calm, it does, to Nigella Lawson. Her Christmas morning trifle there, whatever you're having yourself. Eddie says, when I was on holidays in Braemar in Scotland some years ago, I was told by a local postman that the lowest ever recorded temperature there was minus 27 degrees centigrade. So there. Now, Christmas thank you on the way. I better tell you about our quiz. We're looking for two of you to come on after 4 o'clock. And answer three questions each on bits of songs, news reports, TV shows and movies. And this week, we're giving One Lucky Family, slight change, we're giving Lucky Family the chance to enjoy an overnight stay at Clontarf Castle with dinner at Fahrenheit Restaurant and breakfast the next morning. Discover the wonder of Clontarf Castle, a unique 12th century castle hotel offering a perfect blend of Irish history and tradition with all the luxuries of the 21st century. It's perfectly located in leafy Clontarf, moments from the seaside village that overlooks Dublin Bay and just 10 minutes from Dublin city centre. And they have loads of ideas there for gifts online. You can get last minute presents with an email voucher, clontarfcastle.ie, clontarfcastle.ie. Okay, on this Tuesday afternoon, here is your qualifying question. The first of the World Cup semi-finals takes place tonight, but who are Croatia up against? Are they playing Argentina or England? Ooh. The first of the World Cup semi-finals takes place tonight. Who are Croatia up against? Is it Argentina or England? 0818715925. 0818715925. And good luck with that. And we could be talking to you after 4 o'clock.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now it's time for a big Christmas thank you. You know the idea by now. We ask you to nominate somebody in your life who you'd like to say a big and very public thank you to on the national airwaves. We ask you to send in an email or a letter about that person. And then when it comes to the day, we ask you to tell a couple of white lies, get the person at the other end of a phone. We get you up and then we surprise them and read out your email or your letter and then give them a little Christmas present to say a big Christmas thank you. So somebody who has nominated somebody, if you know what I mean, is on the line. Hello.
Hello, how are you?
Good, good. Are you a bit nervous?
Yeah.
Well, thank you for sending in your letter. It is a letter, not an email.
No, it's a letter.
Yes. And the somebody that you want to thank is by their phone, are they?
Should be. She's doing study.
Right.
She should be.
Right. And you have told her what? That there's a delivery or something?
Delivery of paint coming to me.
Okay. Will we make the call then?
Yes.
Okay. Let's get this over with, Sijou. Okay. Okay. let's make the call then. Here we go. They don't always answer, you know.
Hello.
Hello. Yvonne?
Yes, that's right.
How are you, Yvonne? Are you expecting a call?
I am indeed, yeah.
What's it about?
Paint for my mum.
Yeah. Well, this isn't that call.
All right, okay.
Yeah, no, but your mum is on the other line. She'd just like to say hello to you.
Okay.
Yeah. Go on, Marie.
How are you, Yvonne?
I'm good. How are you?
You're on the Ray D'Arcy Show.
There you go.
Oh, man. What are you doing?
I'll tell you exactly what she's doing. Go on. You tell her, Marie.
I decided to surprise you.
How?
Okay.
You see, Yvonne, we do this thing called the Big Christmas Thank You, and we invite our listeners to nominate somebody in their life who they want to say thank you to around this time of the year. And your mum, Marie, nominated you.
Oh, that's lovely. I was just waiting for paint to be delivered.
Yes. Well, she had to tell a little bit of a white lie. It's a sort of an off-white, a Farrow and Ball, that sort of white. But she had to tell a little lie to get you by the phone and to make sure you'd answer it, you see.
Yeah, she knows what I'm like with the phone.
Yes, there you go. So your mum wrote a lovely letter about you to us. Would you like to hear it?
Yeah.
Are you sitting down there?
Yeah, I'll sit down.
Okay, sit down for it. Okay. You're okay, Marie, are you?
Yeah, I am.
Fine. You know what's coming next. Yeah, okay, great.
Yeah.
So it's a handwritten letter, Yvonne, from your mum, and she's apologises first for the letter. She says, first of all, this should be an email, which I'm not sure how to do. So this is the letter. I'd like to put my daughter Yvonne forward for a surprise. She is 36 years of age, and when she was 14, she was diagnosed with cancer, but came out on the good side. From there, she saw how well she was looked after in Crumlin and decided to have a career in nursing. She did general nursing and worked in the matter, then branched out into maternity, which she worked at in Hollis Street Hospital. She commuted from her home in Rochford Bridge. She now works in Mullingar. She started her family at 19 years old. As at a cancer workshop, it was explained to the girls that some might find it hard to have children. She now has 6 children, and I feel she is an asset to both her children and her career. She was a member of Canteen Support Group for teenagers with cancer and had good friends there. Also from Crumlin, she had great friends there too. She had to deal with bereavement over the years from an early age. Only this year she lost a very dear friend. With all her experience in bereavement, she has started college in this field in conjunction with her job. She's busy with her children, maternity and college, of course. She now lives each day at a time. She loves Christmas time. I feel the child comes out in her at this time of the year. She always says, I don't regret having cancer, Mum, as I would never have gone down the medicine route and met so many wonderful people. I would love to give Yvonne something, a surprise just for her. To let her know she's a wonderful daughter and I'm so proud of how she dealt with her journey in life. Thanking you for taking the time to read this letter. This is an outline of her story. So there you are. That's Marie Palmer. How do you feel about that, Yvonne?
It's just lovely to hear. Yeah, just a little bit emotional. So nice.
Yeah. That's to be expected.
Yeah.
So at 14, that must have been a big shock to be diagnosed with cancer.
Yeah, no, it was. Like, it just kind of opened my eyes up to a whole different world, you know.
Yeah.
Having chemo and radiotherapy and, yeah, it was mad. It feels like a different person now.
Yeah, but it made you the person you've become.
Oh, definitely. Like, I wouldn't have done nursing and midwifery if that didn't happen. And now I'm doing the master's in loss and bereavement. So, yeah, it's definitely given me all that.
Yeah. And what were you, when people asked you when you were 12, 13, before the cancer, what do you want to be when you grow up? What was the answer to that question?
I probably would have said a singer.
Right, okay, right.
I loved music.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And as that happens a lot, I think, when you're exposed to hospitals and doctors and nurses at that age, you go, whoa, I could do this.
Yeah, just to open up my eyes. Like, the nurses were always so caring and there for you, gave you so much time. And I was like, I think that's what I want to give back.
Yeah, yeah. Your mother, mum, ma'am, whatever you call her, is very proud of you. Aren't you, Marie?
I definitely, yeah. Look, as I said, I might not tell her that, but would be.
Yeah.
Well, Marie, you're telling her now in a very big way, in a very public way.
Yeah. I know.
So you're yeah, six children.
Yes, a madhouse.
What's the age? Well, I'm doing the maths. If you were 36 and you had your first child at 19, the eldest is 17. Is that right?
Yeah, she's doing the Leaving Cert.
Right.
And then I have Katie, who's 13, Elsie, who's 11, Con, who's 10, Ted, who's 7, and Tessa, who's 4.
Right.
Yeah.
And you still work and you're studying as well?
Yeah. Yeah. I know, yeah. There's not many days off here. You're like, I'm here sitting in front of studying at the minute before I go into work tonight.
Yeah, yeah.
And cooking a dinner and minding the kids.
What are you making for dinner?
I have a chicken curry on.
Nice. Yeah. So the bereavement studying, Yvonne, what are you going to do with that?
I'm not too sure at the minute. At the minute, I'm learning a lot about myself during the course, and I'm loving the content in it. But I might down the road think about doing bereavement and midwifery. So it's an option there.
Right. What's that exactly?
So it'll be looking after a couple's experience in pregnancy loss.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
That's very specific and very worthwhile and so important.
Exactly.
Yeah. Marie, you said in your letter, you said, I would love to give her a surprise just for her.
because she's always thinking of the kids and other people rather than herself, you know, because she's so busy working, she doesn't have time to kind of think about herself as much.
Right, okay. Well, with thanks to our good friends, this is what happens next, Yvonne, because we've got into bed with Super Value. They want to share the magic this Christmas. So with their help, what better way to do something for you, for yourself, than to go away without the children? So you can choose from the collection of Irish country house hotels, manor houses and castles and restaurants in the Blue Book to the value of €2,000.
What?
Yes.
Oh my God. Wow.
You might get a couple of weekends out of it. I don't know. It's a long time since I've looked at the Blue Book, but you might, you know, you'll get a good break out of it anyway.
Jesus.
Yeah.
I thought you were saying €200.
No, and Marie, you get a €100 voucher for Super Value.
Oh God, it wasn't that's a bigger surprise for me.
There you go. There you go. Yeah. Good to hear Marie and Yvonne on the radio and hear their story from your McDermott cousins in Ballybuffet. They're listening in. They're tuned in.
Oh, very good. And just to let you know, Ray, Yvonne did meet you.
Did she? Right.
She met you when she was about 15 years of age up in Dublin. You were doing something, I think, for Canteen or something.
It was the launch book for Canteen.
Yes. And that's a great organisation, isn't it? It's a support group for teenagers with cancer. And that was you back in the day. Yvonne, what do you want to say to herself there?
Just thanks, ma'am. I wasn't expecting it, and it was lovely to hear your letter, and really appreciate it.
Right, and Marie, what do you want to say finally to Yvonne?
I'd say if I go over now for a cup of coffee, she'll kill me.
I will.
Well, listen, both of you are great. Happy Christmas to you both.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Yvonne. Bye now.
Thank you. Bye.
Sean Colvin and her version of the Talking Head song. This Must Be the Place, Naive Melody. That was lovely with Yvonne and Marie. And if you want to say thank you, we're still open for business on it till Friday. So if you just write about the person in an email or a letter, as Marie did, as much as information as you have, send it off to us. If you're doing an email, just put thank you in the subject line and we could be getting to your person, your nominated person, before Friday. Now, Lenny Henry's up next.
The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Text 51551. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
51551 ray at rte.ie. Good afternoon, Lenny Henry.
Woo-hoo! Whoa, Lenny
it's
Henry.
So lovely.
Lenny Henry,
you
Lenny
see,
Henry.
If there was a group of people, if you had a posse, Ray, people would be clapping now and going, woohoo! But no posse. I like that, actually.
I'm your posse.
Lenny Henry.
Lenny Henry.
I love that.
Yeah. Well, like, I've grown up with you, Lenny.
Have you?
Yeah.
That was you. That's extraordinary. I wondered who that kid was with the grey beard.
Yeah. You're nearly 50 years in the business.
That's right, yes. I can only apologise. Surely we've had enough of this guy. What's wonderful is that, you know, you work hard and people kind of go, he's grafting, let's have him for a bit longer. It's nice. It's nice to be appreciated, you know.
But I've read the book, right, Rising to the Surface, which is the second of, I think it's going to be a trilogy because it stops at the year 2000.
Yeah, this book stops in 2000.
Yes, yeah.
And I don't know how long. It depends, really. There's going to be other books because Faber have got an interest in stuff that I have to say, thank goodness. Mm. So there'll be another one like this, and maybe there'll be something that takes a sideways look at something. I don't intend to stop writing just because I've got to... the present day.
Let's go right in, right? Dive in.
Go ahead.
Right, okay.
Go ahead, Ray.
Because...
You go first. Wear them tight pants before you die.
From reading the book...
Budget smugglers.
Do you want to prove to yourself? Are you proving it to yourself or to other people? Because you're like a workaholic...
Oh, well, hang on a second. I think that...
That word comes up a number of times in the book.
Yes, it does. But yes. Bootsy Collins calls himself a funketeer because he loves to funk, right?
Right.
And I'm calling myself a worker here because I really like to work. And the problem with people who call you a workaholic is they don't quite get it. When you're in show business, work is like fun. Work is like play. Mm. So when we go to work, it's like you're playing every single day, which is why people go a bit nuts in show business. Because a day, if you've seen your kids when they play all the time, they go a bit nuts at the end. You know, it's like they've had too much sugar. Could you calm down? So that's our problem. We like to play every day. And It can lead to interesting places, that. But for me, work has always been a pleasure. It's always been, even when I wasn't very good, I loved being on stage because I loved the relationship with the audience. And I could always talk to the audience. If the act was going wrong, as it did many times, I could always break away from the act, which was the act of a 17-year-old boy trying to find jokes from the Beano. I could always break off and talk to people in the audience about their hair or their clothes or their shoes. And that was always the funniest bit in the show.
Yes.
For some reason.
Because John Kasner, is it?
John Cantor.
Cantor. John Cantor, who wrote with you. And he, there's bits from him in the book. And he says that exactly. He says that those bits where you interacted with the audience were his favourite bits.
Well, the thing is, he's being a bit disingenuous there.
Is he?
We worked very hard on the material. And his stint on my shows was very, very good. We did very, very well. We went all over the world. The show went down very, very well wherever we went. And... what you're talking about is new material versus stuff you just do. Mm. So there's a core of the new show, whatever you want to call it, like the Ireland show. So there's the Ireland show. And then there's 30 years of stuff you've been doing since you were 16 that's still lurking around the perimeter of the act going, can I have a go here? So if you see a guy with a ripped jacket or a girl with spiky hair or a man with far too big shoes or a man with an enormous belt or a guy with tattoos all over his face, I've got a joke for that.
Yes.
So, you know, it seems crazy when you're talking to the audience not to do some of those jokes. Mm. And you know they work. Mm. So we wrote lots of new sets because when you're in show business and you're a comedian, what happens is it's not like being Bono. If you sing New Year's Day again, nobody's going to go, oh, not New Year's Day again. But if you're a comedian and you tell that joke about your mom burning the chicken on Christmas Day, everybody goes, we've heard it
before, Lenny.
So it's a constant thing of reinvention, which is kind of why
it's tough.
I think I don't do it as much. I still like being funny.
Yeah.
But I don't. The thing, the rigor and the military, the almost military discipline of getting a new act together and going on the road for 50 dates, or it's always longer now. Comedians go on the road for like 100 dates. Peter Kay's tour is going to be like 5 months with a month, with a night every month at the O2. It's
grueling. Grueling. Yeah.
I'd rather be at home watching Strictly.
The things that struck me from the book, which I want to talk to you about, if you don't mind. True Identity, we'll talk about that, the movie. And your mum, Winifred. Like, she shines through the
book. She's great.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you could probably tell, when I'm writing about my mum, it's sort of easier because I've always written about my mum. My mum was the kind of North Star for me. She was, when she died, it was like somebody had yanked a big cosmic carpet from beneath my feet. And it was like falling for a very long time. I had a lot of counselling to deal with it, but it was pretty tough. And because my mum was really funny, so I didn't have to write material. I could just talk about what my mum was like. She said surfer ticket instead of certificate. Go and get my bird surfer ticket. What? My bird surfer ticket. You mean certificate? That's what I said. No, it isn't. You said surfer ticket. She'd say flim instead of film. Yeah. And I know that's an Irish thing too. But she said flim. I love that John Wayne flim. What? The John Wayne flim, The Searchers. You mean a film? I said flim.
The lovely story in the book about her 70th birthday.
Oh, so she was great. My mum got us all together, the seven of us, and she said, I want a birthday party, a surprise birthday party. I said, what? You want a surprise? Yes, I want a surprise. With cake and with food and with everybody. I wanted to be at Dudley Town Hall. I wanted to be a choir and music and speeches. Yes, a surprise birthday party. Yes. Okay, so we went away, we're organising it. The best thing was, when she walked in on her 70th birthday to Dudley Town Hall, and she was given the flowers by Seymour, and she was shown the room with the choir and everybody there and the microphone for the speeches, she went, all this for me? Like it was a big surprise. Yeah. You told us to do this. Yeah. This was your idea. I can't believe you do all this for me. So funny. She was really brilliant.
You write very sort of not dismissively. It's sort of like, by the way, about the fact that she hit you with the buckle of a belt and in the face with the pot.
Well, that's pretty much in the first book. I talk about that in the first book. And I talk about this idea. People don't like me talking about it. You know, I had a black journalist haul me over the coals because he said it was reinforcing stereotypes about third world childhood discipline. Mm. And the only thing I could say to him was, I have to wave my flag from where I stand. And this is my truth. This is my lived experience. So, you know, Billy Connolly talks about being a welder, and he talks about all the things about his childhood. And Steve Martin talks about his parents, and Richard Pryor talks about being brought up in a brothel when he was a kid. And this is my truth.
Yeah.
My truth is that for whatever reasons, my mum hit me because she wanted to discipline me and make sure I understood that if I did anything wrong in the outside world, it would be worse than this. So she, and it's not, you know, the funny thing was, when she was on her deathbed, I was talking to her about these things. And one of the questions was, Mom, why did you used to beat me so much? And she said this, I never beat you that much. This is a woman who threw a pot at me from across the room. You know, this woman hit me a lot. If Childline had been around in those days, I would have had my own parking space. My mum was extraordinary, but I did admire her for raising all those kids, for all the hard work she did, 5 jobs. You know, I did admire her, but I had a problem with her for a while. I mean, I did have to.
And you know, now they're all talking about childhood trauma.
Yeah.
Like, as you describe it in this book, as I haven't read the last one, it does sound traumatic.
I think it was. But the thing is, Charlie Chaplin used to say that comedy is tragedy plus time.
Mm.
So actually, you're allowed to examine your life and look back at it and go, oh, that bit's interesting. I'm going to talk about that bit. And because being a comedian is my job, the way I will examine that bit is through jokes.
Yeah. So the winner of New Faces at 16.
Yeah. 16 million people saw me do that. I was in Leicester the week after. I'd never been to Leicester before. And a bus driver, black bus driver, stopped the dress and went, Luddy! And waited for 7 minutes while I signed his autograph and took a picture with him. All his passengers behind going, what the hell is going on? I mean, literally, I was famous in a finger snap.
And can you have too much fame too young?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because what you don't get is you've been a radio personality for many, many years. I was literally thrust from the classroom and the discotheque messing around into being expected to deliver a 45-minute act in front of paying customers. And it's one thing to show off for free in front of your mates and mess around. It's a completely different thing to be expected to perform for 100 minutes or however long and properly entertain an audience. It was really hard. And it took about 10 years to learn how to do properly.
And you were learning on the job.
Oh, yeah. But what's great, what's really good, is that I would recommend this to anybody learning anything, is that there are so many old people who want to teach you how to do stuff, you just have to ask them, and they will tell you. I had Frank Carson, Jimmy Cricket, Dave Allen, yeah. The two Ronnies, Bernard Manning, I had everybody, Stan Boardman, the Germans, I had everybody saying, what you've got to do, lad, is this. You walk on stage, you wear these kind of clothes, you don't do any politics. I had all of these comedians telling me what to do and how to do it for years. And I was very patient. I was like a sponge. And I probably wouldn't have done all the things they wanted to do. You know, Charlie Williams actually said, you're not everybody, you're all right, lad, but you're not everybody's cup of tea. But what I'd learned was the main thing is that it's graft. Nothing comes easy. You've got to work at it. Otherwise, it's not going to work.
And you're a worketeer.
I'm a worketeer, baby.
Another theme here throughout the book is you want to be taken seriously, which is odd as a comedian.
Well, I'm not a comedian anymore, am I? I'm an
actor. But no, I know. But even in the early days, you still, you know, crucial films.
Yeah, I think that there's a kind of Richard Pryce said, just because I'm a comedian, don't mean I'm a fool.
Mm.
And I didn't want people to think I was a fool. And everybody I knew had a PhD or a BA or an MA. And for many years, I was a bit jealous of that. And so I literally stopped my career and did a BA and an MA and a PhD because I wanted to prove to myself that I wasn't no fool.
To yourself or to myself, everybody else?
To myself.
To yourself.
And then once you realise that actually you probably could have done all this without going to school.
Yes.
I relaxed a bit. I love my job. I love what I do. And I love the possibilities of what there is to do next. I don't ever want to be trapped in something. I don't want to be stuck in a rut. And I don't just want to be the guy that falls around on the late and falls on off a chair.
Mm.
I think there's other things to be doing. And I want to learn how to do them. And thankfully, people are giving me the opportunity to learn how to write books and how to write films and things. I've just written my first ever television series called Three Little Birds for ITV. And hopefully you'll get to see it. It's about three women coming to Britain in the 1950s and starting again in the motherland from Jamaica. And it's got laughter, it's got tragedy, it's got romance in it, and it's what I've always wanted to do. It's inspired by my mother's story.
Yes, Echoes of Winifred.
But it's not about my mother.
Yes, yeah.
But it's been, they're filming it now, so it's very, very exciting.
Brilliant. And you mentioned the serious acting, so you're in two prequels at the moment.
Yes, The Power of the Rings, yes. And also in The Witcher prequel, which is called Blood Origin, or as my partner calls it, Blood Orange. Right. It's literally not called Blood Orange, it's called The Blood Origin, and it's how the world, the universe of The Witcher began,
uh-huh.
The confluence of the spheres.
Now, you play a hobbit, so there's a
I play a Harfoot, actually.
A which?
A Harfoot.
Right.
Which is a predecessor of a hobbit.
Excuse me, sorry. And when you were growing up, and this is part of the reason that you've written the two novels for children, you didn't see people like you in books.
No.
And you were into all Narnia and all
nothing
of that.
Nothing would stop me from enjoying the books. I read everything, you know, King Arthur, Robin Hood, the Chronicles of Narnia, Lord of the Rings. I read all the Lord of the Rings when I was very young. Dickens, read a lot of Dickens, although I think you probably call it scanning now. I think I used to tell people, I read all the Dickens books when I was nine. I've reread some Dickens books, and can I just say, I probably scanned. But I did love the Dickens books, particularly Christmas Carol and David Copperfield. And Emma and the Detectives, all of those books, Gulliver's Travels. No black kids.
No.
No black working class kids. And I just thought, why is that? And so that was a question that I parked because it was never going to change. And then, holy mackerel, I'm reading stories to my daughter when she was a little kid in the early 90s. Nothing has changed. No black kids in these books, apart from this kid in Harry Potter who used to commentate the Quidditch matches. And I thought, well, something should have changed by now. So that planted this idea in my head that maybe one day, often, Toni Morrison said, if there's a feeling that there's a book out there that you haven't read, that you're dying to read, you should probably write it. So when I was offered the opportunity a couple of years ago to write a children's book, I jumped at it because I just thought, I'm going to write the book that I would have wanted to read when I was 8 or 9 or 10. And so The Boy with Wings is about a boy with wings, spoiler alert, and The Book of Legends is about a book of legends. Imagine if those stories were real.
Yes.
So I wanted to write a book where some black kids have an adventure and triumph or go through great tribulation and overcome an ordeal through confidence and having their wits about them and making friends. And it's funny, lots of jokes. You know, why was 6 scared of 7? Because 7, 8, 9, yeah. All of those kids' jokes. There's lots of jokes like that in the Book of Legends. And I have not abandoned the whole being a stand-up thing. And there might be in a couple of years. You know, Peter Kay has just come back to stand-up after 12 years off. And I don't know if I could do that. But I definitely think this period of my life of acting, of writing, is what I'm loving at the moment. And the onus isn't on me to be Johnny Comedy Pants every 2 seconds.
There was an onus on you for a while to represent the black community.
Everybody.
Everybody, not just the black community. But you were, apart from Trevor MacDonald, you were the only black person on the telly on a regular basis.
Me and Trevor, we both had our own shows. It was just me and Trev. It was ridiculous. And then, but what was interesting was, because I was the only black guy with his own comedy show on television, his own sketch show, the characters I did, and it's different for someone like Mike Yarwood or The Fast Show, but the characters you do very much represent your people. So if you're a young Irish comic and you do different types of Irish person, you're representing all of Ireland. It doesn't matter if you're just going, well, no, actually, I'm just representing me. You're not. So as a black kid of Caribbean heritage from Dudley, where my ancestry is somewhere in like Nigeria or Cape Town, that's a lot of stuff to be carrying on one 17-year-old kid's shoulders. And every time I went on the telly, I'd get stopped in the street afterwards by people who were Gambian or Nigerian or St. Kitts or St. Lucia, saying, you didn't do that voice right.
Yeah.
My mom talks like this. My dad talks like this. You need to talk about this. Why don't you moisturize your skin? Why don't you... Literally, I'd be pulled up for everything to do with...
You were scrutinized.
I was scrutinized because of my representation of a lot of different people's ethnicity and heritage. So I'd do all these characters and understand that I would get stick in the street afterwards from Jamaica.
And you were
or
just
African
finding
people.
Your way.
Oh, yeah.
In
but
the world.
It was fun in a way. I'm not... Listen, I'm not maligning anything from my past. But the book is a scrutinization of all of that stuff.
And it talks about the birth of comic relief.
Yes.
And you missed out on Live Aid because you were gigging. You were in Westcliff-on-Sea.
I was very cross.
Westcliff-on-Sea, of all places. And I suppose in your head you said, if something big comes along again, I'm not going to miss it.
My manager at the time was called Robert Love. And he always said, show business will do very well by you if you keep working as hard as you're working. You're a good lad and you're going to do okay. He said, but you have to give back. What do you mean? Well, you just have to do stuff for people who are worse off than you, because if you're in show business, they give you everything. You know, you get into clubs. I always wanted to get into clubs and they'd let you in the club for nothing. And, you know, I always wanted to be able to afford a drink and people would buy you drinks. And it was sort of amazing. And I loved it. But I knew I was very lucky. I bought mum a house. You know, I bought mum a car. Show business is very rewards. And Robert Love said, you've got to give back. And so from a very early age, I'd play in charity football matches and open fates and do stuff for children in need and stuff. And then Richard Curtis went to Ethiopia after Michael Burke had made these horrifying documentaries about what was going on in the famine over there. And he said, we've got to do something. And I said, well, what do you want to do? And he was going to do a show with Rowan Atkinson at a theatre where he was doing his show. And Rowan said, well, when I finish my show, we could do a late night benefit. So we did 4 nights at the Shaftesbury Theatre, and everybody came. Dawn and Jennifer, the young ones, Cliff Richard, Geldof, Jasper Carrot, Billy Connolly, Victoria Wood. Everybody came and performed for free. And we raised couple of million quid, and it was great. And it was on the telly. When it went on the telly, it raised about 15 million quid. And at my house, we had a party. And I think I said something like this should just be a one-off thing, you know. This should be something that we do all the time. And we should just be funny and do sketches. And we should raise money like this. Should be one night every year. I think I said that. Right. And Richard said, how drunk were you last night? I said, I don't remember being drunk. You were saying something about this being a one-time, you know, we do it once a year, everything. Maybe once every year is too many things. Maybe it's every other year. And maybe we should make it a day like Red Nose Day. Mm. And Richard really led on this. I mean, I'm a co-founder, but Richard really led on this. And Richard and I wrote letters to everybody in show business. Quite a lot of people didn't want to do it because they thought that when you do a show for famine or refugees or something, you're kind of nailing your political colours to the mast. Whereas we just thought, no, it's helping people. If people need medical supplies, what, you're going to not give them medical supplies because you vote for somebody? You just give them the medical supplies in a van anyway. So we just thought like that. And thankfully, all the young performers said, we'll do it. So everybody, Julie Walters, Victoria Wood, Jasper Carrot, Paul Whitehouse, Harry, and all of them said, we'll do it. And the first year we raised 15 million, second year another 15 million, third year something like 24 million, and on and on and on.
And how many years is it going now, Lenny?
Since 1988, I would say we announced a couple of years ago £1.5 billion. So that's over 30 years. So it's been an extraordinary story, and it's the thing I'm probably the most proud of. I was proud of Mandela Day, but Comic Relief has probably done the most good for people.
We won't get to True Identity, but there's a brilliant story about a movie that Lenny was in called True Identity. It's a great part of the book. I really enjoyed
that. Thank you. Well, I can't tell you the whole thing. You've got to buy
No, you've got to buy the book. That's what I'm pointing towards the book.
There's loads of stuff in Rising to the Surface.
And the other great story is, which I thought it was beginning of a gag. I thought it was the beginning of a gag when you started telling the story about doing backing vocals for Kate Bush.
That's not a joke.
No.
I think she saw me on an Amnesty. I sang a song with Jules Holland at Amnesty. And I also did Theophilus P. Wildebeest, who's just brought out a brand new album. It's called The Lion King. I think you know what I'm talking about. Can't do any of those jokes anymore. It's such a shame. But anyway, I did Theo, and I did this song. I think I did the Kim West, Take Me In Your Arms and Rock Me A Little While, with Jules Holland and Dave Gilmour. And Kate Bush rang me up and said, do you want to sing on my new album? And I went, you're Kate Bush? Of course I do. Of course I want to sing on your new album. And I got to her house in South London. She made me scrambled eggs and a cup of tea. And she got in the studio, smoked a lot of fags. And I'm literally in front of the microphone going, what am I doing here? 2 minutes ago, I was going, I thought I walked into a bar. He said, ouch, it was an iron bar. Thank you very much. And now I'm singing on a rock and roll album. And I'm listening to this track and I go, this sounds very much like Prince. And she said, it is Prince. And I went, ah! I'm singing on a Prince track with Kate Bush. Life doesn't get any better than this. And it was just brilliant. It was a brilliant experience. And she was lovely. And she still is lovely.
And what's the Mike Scott thing? Because
Mike Scott congratulated me on them. I went to buy a shirt in London from this great, if you get a chance, go. It's called John Pierce. And he makes beautiful shirts. And Mike Scott was there. And I looked at him and I went, too high, too low, or whatever it is.
Yeah, the whole of the moon.
The whole of the moon. Yeah. Not the half, but the whole. And I said to him, oh, man, that is a killer song. Congratulations. I've got Fisherman's Blues, but the whole of the moon. It's literally like an epic, but on a record, isn't it? Yeah. It's like this epic song cycle. It's beautifully sung, beautifully played. And he said, well, thank you. He says, and by the way, your version of Why Should I Love You is much better than ours, because they've done a version of Why Should I Love You. And I went, well, God, thank you very much. He was so kind and so generous. And it's hard, you know. Singing's like being naked in a dream. You know when you have that naked dream? Yeah. You're in a dream and you're naked in front of 1,000 people. Singing is like that. It's very much who you are when you sing. And it's why I know I'm a comedian. Because when I sing, it always feels like I'm pretending to be somebody. But when I'm a comedian, I'm me.
Yeah, you can't top that. Lenny Henry, Rising to the Surface, is in shops now, as is his second children's novel, The Book of Legends. Lenny Henry.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Good Eileen, thank you very much. 5 on 5, 5 on Ray at RTE.ie. Helen has been on about Lenny Henry. Ray, Lenny is a comic genius. I've loved him since childhood. He's the reason I could never cheer against England or believe our neighbours were enemies, because he always came to visit Ireland and entertained us. I met him when he signed my newly purchased copy of The Wellhard Handbook. I was 14. I'm 46 now. Still have it. Such a happy memory, says Helen. That was one of his books. What's that? What, 32 years ago. 32 years ago. 1989, around there. Yeah, 1990. Okay, it's time for a quiz. We have two quizzers standing by and we have a prize. And it's a prize for a family. The chance to enjoy an overnight stay at Clontarf Castle with dinner at Fahrenheit for all the family. And breakfast the next morning. And loads of things to do in Clontarf Castle. It's out there, just close to Clontarf Village, near Dublin Bay, 10 minutes away from the city centre. They have loads of gift ideas there. You can even get email vouchers for those last minute presents. Choose from gorgeous gift options, from luxurious overnight stays to gourmet Sunday lunches and dinners in the award winning Fahrenheit restaurant. ClontarfCastle.ie. Hello, Aileen Moran.
Hello, how are you, Ray? How are you doing?
Good. You're in Roscommon.
That's right, yeah.
Whereabouts in Roscommon?
So we're Mount Talbot, County Roscommon, actually.
Mount Talbot?
Yeah, so near, say, near Four Roads, kind of between, not too far, say, about 20 kilometres from Roscommon town.
Right, okay. And are you west of that, or east of that, or north?
Yeah, we're the Roscommon-Galway border, you could say.
Right,
so.
Okay. So, yeah, so you're bordering on East Galway, so, sort of thing.
Yeah, yes. Exactly. That's yes, exactly
yeah. It. Great. And were you rare there?
This is my... we actually live in my grandparents' house.
Oh, right, so right, right, right.
So we're near my... near my home house, actually. We're not too far, so right. Nice to be near, living near.
And we is the whole family. Who's in the family?
Yeah, so I have myself, my husband, Vincent.
Yeah.
And then we have three children. So my daughter, Blohane, is 5. And our second girl is Ava, who's just turned 3. And then our baby is 20 months.
And go on.
And yeah, we're expected a fourth baby. Thanks. We're expected a fourth baby in April.
Yeah, well, it's here in front of me. I presume you offered it up.
Your researcher has done all the background.
Yeah.
The groundwork.
Congratulations. That's
so we have a full house. Yes. Definitely we'll have a full house. Yeah. Busy house as it is, for sure.
So Blohane, when will Blohane be 6?
Blohane will be turning 6 in April.
Aha.
So we'll have 6, 3 and 2 when baby arrives.
Ah, so 4 under the age of 6. Or 6 and under. Yeah. Yes, yes. That's busy, busy, busy. I don't know why you're laughing, but you know, that's
I don't know why I'm laughing either.
And so busy for Christmas then. Blohane and Ava, I'd be very well aware of what's happening in the coming
weeks. Yeah, so Blohane started school in September in Mount Talbot. And so they're big into Santa and... all excited for Santa now this year, so we're really looking forward to it.
Yeah, and who, where will you be for Christmas Day?
So yeah, we'll stay at home. It's the logistics of it all makes it a bit easier to stay at home.
And will you be doing the cooking?
Everyone can come to us. I'll cook myself, and then we'll have grandparents, and my husband's mum and my own mum and dad will visit during Christmas and that, and brothers and sisters and stuff. So we're looking forward to it.
A lovely family Christmas. Great. You're up against David Lamb from Mullingar. How are you doing, David?
Hello, Ray. How's it going?
Not too bad. You're not originally from Mullingar?
No, originally from the sunny clouds of Monaghan.
The sunny clouds of Monaghan, yeah. And you're busy around now because you gig a lot.
Yeah, I play the Irish music for the tourists around Dublin City Centre a lot. So Christmas is busy for us, you know?
Yeah. So you'd commute up from Mullingar, would you?
I would do, yeah. Well, I stay with friends up there on odd night if it's that busy, you know?
Yes, yeah. It's only an hour, really, isn't it, at that time of the night?
No. It's grand. It's not too far away.
Seeing as I was asking Aileen, I better ask you, what are your plans for the Christmas?
Oh, I'll probably go and see my dad back up at home and have Christmas dinner with him. He says he's a good cook, so Well, I don't believe it.
You should know by now, I'd imagine, if he's a good cook or not.
I haven't lived with him in a few years. He might have improved.
Like. Right, okay. You've thrown down the gauntlet there, if he's listening. Yeah. Do you not, yeah, do you cook yourself at all, David?
I sure do a good old chilli there for, right, you know, when I'm bait, like.
Yeah.
So I can do it. I can get at it.
What instrument do you play?
I play the flute, whistles, bit in the accordion, that sort of thing, you know. Right. A bit of singing.
Multi-instrumentalist, all-round talented guy.
Oh, I wouldn't say all-round.
What's your favourite Christmas song?
Fairy Tale in New York, I suppose.
Ah, yeah, yeah. What about you, Aileen?
Everybody loves it.
What's your favourite Christmas song?
Yeah, the Christmas carols are nice. I like the Christmas carols. Have I any favourites? Let me see now.
Putting you on the spot.
Oh God,
here.
I don't know. No. Putting me on the spot, yeah. Right?
There's no point for it, so
yeah,
don't worry about it.
Fairy Tale New York.
Fairy Tale New York as well.
Yeah.
Okay. Everybody, we must play that again. We played it already. We must play it again. Okay. Three questions each, not about Christmas songs. If you go for a long clip, you get a point. Go for a shorter clip, you get 2 points. Whoever scores most is the winner. However, if it's a draw on points, we go to a tie break question. Good luck to you, Aileen. Good luck to you, David. Here we go.
Best luck.
Okay, Aileen. We're going back 30 years to 1992. And we're starting with a question on the movies. Would you like a long clip or a short clip?
Long clip or short clip?
Yes.
Long, probably,
long,
yeah.
Okay. This American Christmas comedy film is a sequel where the main protagonist gets split from his family going to Miami for the holidays, ending up with the boy lost in another city. Can you name the movie? Here's your long clip.
Can I help you?
Reservation for McAllister?
A reservation for yourself.
Ma'am, my feet are hardly touching the ground. I'm barely able to look over this camera. How can I make a reservation for a hotel room? Think about it. A kid going into a hotel, making a reservation? I don't think so.
You've a lot there. Well.
Yeah, that's quite good. So it's definitely Home Alone, anyway, yeah.
Go on, Home Alone. Yes, Home Alone 2 is correct. Yes, Home Alone 2 is correct. I needed the 2. You get a point. Well done.
You needed the 2. Great. Yeah.
David, movies from 1992. You're giddy, Aileen. Anyway, David, back to you. Movies from 1992. Do you want a long clip or a short clip?
Short will do me.
Short, okay. This nightclub singer is forced to take refuge from the mob, having witnessed an execution. Only to transform those she's staying with into a choir full of soul. Can you name the movie? Here's your short clip.
Were you a choir, mister? Reference is made Clarence's background music.
Really,
Mary Clarence. Were you a choir, mister?
Sort of freelance.
Well.
Yeah. Sister Act.
Sister Act's great to get 2 points for that. One plays right. Two. Okay, Aileen, back to you. Music from 1992. Do you want to go long or short?
Go short, I think.
Go short of this. This American rock band released their 8th studio album in 1992. Can you name the band or this song?
Don't let yourself go.
Who's that?
Jesus, I know. Everybody Hurts.
Yes, Everybody Hurts is correct. Well done. It's R.E.M. And you get 2 points for that. Well done.
Okay. Oh, God. Yeah.
Well
I
done.
I wasn't really sure of the title.
Yeah, you got it. Right, David. Music from 1992. I suspect you're going to go short, are you?
Yeah, thanks.
Oh, yeah, going short, okay. This American country music artist released their 4th studio album in September of 1992, topping the U.S. Billboard charts. Can you name him or the song?
Garth Brooks.
It is Garth Brooks. Yes, well done. 2 points for that. You're on 4, David. Aileen, you're on 3. One question left, which is on news and current affairs. Do you want to go long or short?
So I'm going to go short this
time.
Yes,
you sort of
right?
have to go short, yes. Yeah. And I hope that, David, something happens there with him. Okay, so in June 1992, this referendum would lead to greater European integration and the formation of the European Union. Can you name this treaty? And here is your short clip.
I think the nerve of
people who are in favour of a united Europe all over the continent would have been steadied by the courageous decision of the Irish people, and I think that will give us, Ireland, an opportunity to give a lead in Europe.
Well,
so a treaty.
Yes.
Maybe the Maas Treaty, is it? European Union.
Yeah, you're nearly there. Maas. Go on.
Oh, the Maastricht Treaty.
Yeah, the Maastricht Treaty, yes. 2 points there. It is the Maastricht Treaty, yes, it is. It was there in the recesses of your brain. So you're on five. David, you're on four.
Okay.
If you go short and get it right, you're today's winner. If you decide to go long for some reason and you get it right, then it's a draw and we go to a tiebreak question. What do you want to do?
Go short, Ray.
Go short, okay. 1992, news and current affairs. This Irish boxer took home gold at the Olympics in Barcelona, having beaten Juan Hernandez of Cuba. Can you name him? Here's your short clip.
That's a great day. It's a great day for Greenhill. It's a great day for Ireland in general. It's
when
a great
came
day
back
for boxing.
From Seoul Olympics, and news carries shoulder high along the street. What's going to happen when he comes
well, back? Look at this now. Watch it.
Steve Collins.
No.
No, no, it's not
no,
Steve Collins.
No, it was Michael Carruth. I thought you were... Yeah, sorry about that. It was Michael Carruth. So he won gold. Sorry about that, David. You're doing so well. We're going to send you out a Ray Darcy Show Keep Cup. Sorry about that. Happy Christmas. Good luck with the gigs. See you, David. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Aileen, what? There you go.
Oh, great. Aileen back. Yeah. I'm absolutely delighted.
Yeah, it's a family night out in Clontarf Castle. So it'll be you, Vincent, and the three children if you take it before April, or before if you take it after April.
Well, no, I love staying before April.
Clontarfcastle.ie to see what's in store. Well done. Happy Christmas.
Oh, thanks so much, Ray. I'm delighted.
Bye.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, our Silent Night quiz. We've 15 versions of Silent Night in less than 50 seconds, and we're asking you to spot all the singers in order of their appearance. And we have a prize hamper. It's an overnight stay in the Killarney Plaza and dinner. And now we're adding, because it's on today too, a little hamper of books. Tom Felton of Happy Potter fame. Beyond the One, that's a memoir. Tommy Gorman's Never Better, that's a memoir. Bob Mortimer's The Satsuma Complex, that's a novel. Lily Higgins' The Homemade Year, we spoke to Lily a couple of weeks ago. Nevin Maguire's More Midweek Meals, and The Climate Book, created by Greta Thunberg. So that's a nice little hamper of books that's on there. Liam and his family were working on it overnight. How are you doing, Liam?
Hey Ray, how's it going?
Not too bad. So 15 versions of Silent Night in less than 50 seconds. There was yourself and who else involved last night?
Well, it was myself, my wife Siobhan, and my daughter Charlotte, and my son William. And we were all huddled around the super circus. The heating broke.
Right.
So we were around the super circus like in the 80s.
Okay, so we'll play it out one more time and then we'll see how you did. Here we go.
Okay.
What do you think you did, Liam?
I thought I had more right when I spoke to Neil off air. Now I realise I mightn't have as many as I thought, but I'll give you what I have. I've got 15 names, that's what I can tell you.
Right, go on then.
Okay, so one Enya, two, I'm going to say Trish Yearwood for two, Daniel O'Donnell, three, Mariah Carey, four, Michael Bublé, next. Six, Sinead O'Connor. Seven, Nat King Cole. Eight, Kelly Clarkson. Nine, Miley Cyrus. Ten, I had had this one wrong, but I think I have it right now. It's Phoebe Bridgers. I had it down as Simon and Garfunkel because it sounded like them. Cliff Richard, number 11. Joe Dolan, number 12. Taylor Swift, number 13. Dolly Parton, number 14. And Lisa Hannigan, last.
Right. Now, I can't tell you which ones you got right, but I can tell you that you have 10 there.
All right. 10 isn't bad.
Yeah, that's not bad at all. 10 isn't bad at all. And so, obviously, that's 5 wrong. I think we're going to give away the first one because I think that was a sort of a, you know, an introductory offer. I think everyone has gotten that right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that is Enya and her version Oscalia of Silent Night. But close, but no, what do they say? Cigar.
Close, but no cigar. Yes. Oh, no, it was good to give it a lash, though. I love giving things a lash.
Yeah, I tell you what, people have surprised me and how good they are. I think we won't have this on our plate for quite, like I'd say, we probably get rid of it tomorrow by the looks of things. But for you, Liam, and your family, we're sending out a Ray Darcy Show Keep Cup. And the reason it's a keep cup is to keep trying. It's a keep trying cup. I might go again.
I might email you again. Thanks.
Well done. Well done, Liam. Thanks.
See ya.
So there it is, and it's up on the podcast there if you want to listen back to it. But as I say, people are really good, and I think tomorrow could be the day when we get rid of it. Now, you might remember last year on the show, we had a plea from a Leitrim woman looking for someone to help her make a Sugan chair. Wasn't that it? Yes. And that was Edwina Guckian. And Edwina joins me in the studio again. How are you doing, Edwina?
I'm good.
Yeah. And since we last spoke, Edwina, you've been named Leitrim Person of the Year.
I have, yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thanks. It's such an honour to be celebrated by your own people. It's lovely.
And was there a ceremony?
There was, yeah. There's a big ceremony and lots of friends and family to support me, and it's great, real honour.
Yeah, and that's because all the work you're doing around folklore in the county, isn't it?
Yeah, and community.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Everybody says to me, you know, you're great, well done. And and it's like, well, if I didn't have the community behind me to, you know, when I shout that we're having a crossroads dance, if no one showed up, should I be there on my own? So it takes a community. Yeah. So as I said to everyone, it's lovely, but this is for everyone as well as myself.
So the reason we spoke to you last time was that you're reviving old traditions.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you were looking at the time for people to grow their own straw, which you did in Leitrim.
We did. Oats, yes. Yeah.
And then you got so many people involved in making various things out of straw that you had to go outside Leitrim for your straw.
That's right. You know,
Kildare of all
we
places.
We couldn't grow enough of it.
So as well as the Sugan chair, remind us what else you make out of straw.
Yeah, we made the hen's nest, and we've been looking at thatching. We've been looking at what we can make from the oats. You know, we like the milling tradition and the flour, oaten bread and porridge.
Because you don't, I know this because I'm from the country, you don't grow straw. It's a byproduct of oats.
Exactly. Yeah. And now, because it's coming into December, it's full on mumming season.
Yes.
Or straw boys or ran boys. There's lots of things surrounded by straw, you know, and they're all really much the same. They do much the same thing.
Tell us about the mummer tradition.
Yeah. So mumming is about rounding up a few people together. You can have anything from 3 or 4 people to 20 people. You dress yourselves in disguise. You can dress in straw if you have it. And you go round across the 12 days of Christmas to visit people's houses, knocking on their door, performing outside, or you might be invited in. And they have rhymes and they sing and they dance and play music. And it's about bringing good luck. And in return, then the family that you've performed for, you know, give you some money or food or drink. And then off you go to the next one.
And is it similar or completely different to the Wren Boys?
No, very similar.
Right.
Yeah, just the Wren Boys is for St. Stephen's Day.
So this is before Christmas, the Mummers?
The Mummers is across the 12 days of Christmas.
Oh yeah, 12 days are from Christmas?
Christmas.
To the 6th of January.
Yeah.
Okay, so you can do it any one of those days.
Exactly, yeah. Right. Or you can go out every day if you want.
And the thing that you make out of the straw is a hat that covers the face.
Yes, so just to disguise yourself. So you can make the hat and you can make a whole costume if you want. You can be as elaborate as you want. I guess it's how much time you have. But yeah, the hats are really the quickest to make and the most significant. Like when you see people coming outside your house with them on, you know what they're there to do. Yeah.
And you're encouraging everybody in Leitrim to get their straw, make their mummer's hat and get out there.
Exactly. Well, we're kind of calling out nationally and internationally for people to do it. We have a huge crowd in Leitrim doing it now. So we have 12 towns in Leitrim, villages, all taking part. Last night we were in Carrick and Shannon and there were 60 people there taking part.
And when you say taking part last night, they were making the hats?
Making the hats. Right. People from all over Leitrim actually came to it from all over Ireland that had moved to Carrick and Shannon and from different parts of the world as well. So it was a great way of bringing the community together and a multi-generational thing as well. It was all ages. And just calling for people to take on this tradition in their community. It happened all over Ireland years ago, and just to bring some joy to themselves and to their own community by going along. And you don't have to be, you know, a professional musician or singer or dancer to do this. Anybody can get up and sing
a carol. The fact that you have a mask on, you know, even I could sing. Oh, well, because nobody knew who it was.
Total divilment. Yes. That's what happens when people are in disguise. They great confidence all of a sudden.
Now, it's one thing to say everyone should get out and make a mummer's thing, but where would people get their straw?
Yeah, so if you don't have straw, let's start there. If you don't have straw, which is always like an issue, which is how I came about this project in the first place, people would just dress in disguise in daft ways. Like they'd put tea towels over their head and where men would dress up as women, women as men, you know, clothes on inside out, tinsel, whatever you have. If you do have straw, I have a video on YouTube of how to make the hat.
Right.
But there's loads of people that's allergic to straw, which we discovered last night. So you could use like wire and wool and pull stuff out of the hedges as well, willow. And yeah, look, there's no rules. Just get creative, put yourself in disguise and have a bit of crack going from.
And the mummer's thing, it dates back to, is it pre-Christian times?
Some of the earliest documentations are from like 1172 is the one I came across. And I'm sure it was there for it to be documented. It was probably going a lot longer than that.
Yeah. What other, have you any other Christmas traditions that are sort of gone by the wayside?
Oh gosh, some of the ones that I would have grown up with. Taking the straw from the crib on Christmas Day and putting it in your purse and you'll never be short of money for the year.
Yeah, what?
Take a piece of straw from the crib on Christmas Day and you'll never be short of money. And put it in your purse.
Yes.
That was one that my grandparents and my parents always did. Or Handsome Monday, the first Monday after on New Year's. You would get a coin that has a cross on it. Someone would give that to you and you put that in your purse too. And then you wait until the following year and you pass that coin on for good luck and for wealth.
And what's it called?
It's Hansel Monday.
Hansel Monday?
Yeah, Hansel.
Right.
And then there's Christmas Eve, where I love this one, where the animals, I was going to say come to life, but they're already alive. But they have speech, the gift of speech, but you're not meant to eavesdrop on them, but they're meant to be able to talk on Christmas Eve.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know how to respond to that one. Dr. Doolittle. Brilliant. So where can people find your video of making the mummer's hat?
Yeah, it's on YouTube, or if you go to sowintheseedproject.com, you'll find all about the mummers and the rhymes and how to make the hat and how to be a mummer.
How to be a mummer.
Yeah.
How to be a mummer. And you're trying to get it going again all over the country.
Yeah, all over the country and outside of Ireland too. We've had loads of people. I've had people from Hawaii yesterday contact me to say they're putting a group together in Oslo, and there's a group in Japan and others. People join in and all over the place because it's universal. This isn't something that is just can only be done in Ireland. You can do this anywhere.
In Dundalk in the 70s and 80s, we went mumming at Halloween. Just our normal costumes, black bin bags and coal, no straw, says Betty in Cabra. So mumming is, it varies, doesn't it?
It does, because you have the Biddy Boys at St. Bridget's time, St. Bridget's Day, and then Halloween, they would have dressed in straw or in disguise again, trick-or-treating, and it's the same concept.
Pooka. Trick-or-treating, that's an American thing.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
It is.
I thought you, of all people, Edwina.
Well, you see, this is something that you would do at Halloween. You perform as like the Straw Boys or whatever, the Buccali Tí, and you would perform for them. And if you weren't rewarded, you would play a trick. Yeah. Like my grandfather was a cart maker and the man didn't, he actually did pay them, but he wrapped a coin or something in tinfoil. And then my grandfather came back a few days later when the man wasn't there, took his cart apart, brought the donkey and cart into the house, reassembled the cart, and then
that's a short story that I did in the Leaving Cert. That one.
Oh no!
Yes,
really?
Yes.
My grandfather did that, and man had to call him to come back to take it apart and pay him. So now
I think your grandfather's spinning the yarn there.
No.
Yes, there's an Irish short story. I can't remember the name of it. Somebody will remind me of it at 5 and 5:51. We're going now. But anyway, maybe your grandfather did it and maybe he's the subject of the short story that I read from my Leave Insert or Intercert or whatever. Edwina, great to see you.
Oh, cheers.
And good luck with the mumming. That's it from us. Cormac is on the way on Drive Time because it's Tuesday and we are back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday evening. There you go. Good luck.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.